coffee was bad, they wouldn't sit outside drinking it.
No, well, okay.
I'm pretty sure of that.
I do like good coffee, but I'd be happy to be without the traffic fumes.
I agree. But the whole coffee culture is a big deal in Paris, and it's a lovely part of being here. Just everyone enjoying being outside, sitting there, chatting away. And it's part of life, you know. It's a morning coffee, it's a later drink.
Yeah, but do have, unless you're someone like gluten intolerant, do have your croissant with it, because it's just part of the experience.
Yep.
And the croissants here are like nowhere else.
No, and Nora's, and the baguettes and everything.
The baguettes are wonderful. I have a little routine. I go out every morning and buy myself half a baguette. I've got a block of cheese and some of my own homemade chutney, and I just make myself a sandwich for lunch.
You brought your own chutney to Paris?
I did, but mainly because I find that the French Comté cheese goes really well with chutney. You cannot buy chutney here. So I had to bring it from England, and might as well bring my own homemade stuff.
Very nice.
But also, I struggle slightly to get a baguette without meat in it.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why I make my own.
I can only get on to Twitter on my screen right now instead of emails. So I'll leave the emails to you.
I'll have a look for the emails.
Give me any fruits that come in.
Yep.
Interesting to see what happens in this match. I'm glad that it's going deep, because I'm writing a story about Dumanoir today for the Guardian Australia, so it's good that it goes on long so that I get to go to his post-match press.
Yes, well, I don't think he'll rush into press, will he? I mean,
no, he's not late, but he's not a slow one, but he will. This match will still go past the end of our shift, I think, or at least his press will.
Now then, our last email is showing here. I think we've got a problem with. It's not just your screen. I think it's mine as well.
Ah. Okay. We have a problem. To sort that out.
Yes, if you've contacted us.
I can't flick on
actually,
to the.
Have we had this? Joseph Cox says kumquat. We had a kumquat tree. Have you had that one on your screen?
No.
Okay, then.
Had that on.
All right. We had a kumquat tree when I was growing up in Florida. I hadn't thought of it until now. Sam from the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Oh, okay. Goes under the name Joseph, but calls himself Sam.
Very good.
So,
is that an email?
That is an email, yes.
I can't actually, on my screen, I can't flick onto the emails. That's what's going on.
And yes, Bill in Chicago, I was thinking of starfruit.
Oh, now I can.
Thank you.
Starfruit. Do you want that?
Yeah, put that one down.
Okay, to put that at the top.
Passion fruit, hands down. That's from Chris in Chicago.
Passion fruit.
Juice, compote, sucked straight out of the shell even. Wow. Okay.
Passion fruit. We haven't got that either.
That surprises me. Passion fruit is...
Very nice.
Backhand from Medvedev is long. And Medvedev moves to 40-15. Right, this is going, Simon. You might have a victory to write about.
Well, yeah. This is the point. He's changed. He's actually changed his game. He's coming forward a lot more. He realises that, as I said, he felt a bit bullied on court. He's up to speed on his serve as well from the last year or so. I mean, it's part of the general improvement of players' games as they progress and mature. But he's realised what he needs, and he's added it to his game. And to accompany that pure speed around the court and retrieval skills.
Medvedev has just dropped the opening game of the third set. It was on the Dumanoir serve, but he's having a word with the umpire now. I think he wants more white towels.
Medvedev had some treatment towards the end of the second set on his blisters. I don't know if you saw that. It was a pretty ugly sight that made most people want to turn the TV over.
Well, that makes radio listening excellent, because you don't see the blisters.
Exactly.
And we're not going to describe them.
Oh, I am, because they were really yellow. And and also,
if you're having lunch, stop now.
People were pointing out how long Medvedev's toes are.
Right, okay. It's a lovely drop shot from Dumanoir. This is a crucial game for Medvedev. He could easily lose the thread of the match.
Well, and I think when you mention, you know, he thinks he doesn't enjoy clay, he doesn't relish clay. When things start going away from you, it's quite easy, if you have that mindset, or if you have that somewhere inside you, just to think, not my day. Get on the grass, get on the hard courts, be fine.
He's done well at the Queen's Club, hasn't he? Never done that well at Wimbledon.
Not yet. He'll find a way. He'd had 5 first-round losses here.
Yeah.
Until making the quarters.
Serves out wide, 400 turn up the line from Dimitrov, a clean winner. Medvedev served out on the previous point, out wide to the backhand, and had a very comfortable put away. But this time, he did the same in the deuce court, left his big gap open for the forehand.
Well, it didn't seem to be that much room there, but it's almost like he left it.
Medvedev again serving out wide. The net gets in the way. Now, 15-30. Chance for Dimitrov. Serve out wide. Backhand from Dimitrov. Backhand from Medvedev down the forehand wing. Dimitrov slides into this and chops it back. Forehand from Medvedev. Forehand from Dimitrov. Medvedev waits for this. Flattens it out. Goes back to the forehand of Dimitrov. Medvedev goes up the middle of the court. Backhand Dimitrov. And comes in behind it. Low volley from Dimitrov is into the net. But that was clever from Medvedev.
A tough volley to hit.
It was really dipping on him.
He should have made it. I think the low backhand volley is easier than the low forehand volley, technically. But still, that wasn't easy. It was low and it was dipping.
I didn't realise how much easier it is to get side on for the backhand volley than the forehand volley until a coach filmed me from the side of the court.
Because you've got nothing in the way on the backhand side.
That's right. And it's your leading shoulder that goes into the ball. 30 all, slice from Dimitrov, brings Medvedev into the net. Medvedev nets.
The short slice is a good play against Medvedev. He doesn't really want to come forward, even though he's actually a decent volleyer these days. But
yeah, it's a decent reflex volleyer.
Yeah, there wasn't much conviction on that.
And there's now a break point for Dimitrov. So since Medvedev took the first set, he's only won two games. Backhand down the line, a push back from Dimitrov brings Medvedev into the net again. A lob from Dimitrov. Medvedev will let that bounce and it's going to go long.
Well, that was a much better forehand. It's interesting, Medvedev's been really varying his serving position at this year's Roland Garros. Sometimes on the deuce court, he's been standing way over, almost on the tram line.
Yes.
And it's very obvious where he's probably going to go. But he just figures... out wide to the forehand, on the deuce side.
On the deuce side, okay.
Yeah, so he's standing way wide, so he's just going to slice it out wide.
He leaves a big gap open, though.
He leaves a gap, but he probably just works the percentages and thinks, you know, chances are I'm going to win the point anyway.
Forehand from Dimitrov to the forehand of Medvedev. Backhand from Dimitrov. A two-hander from Medvedev is long. Again, can't help feeling that at that moment a slice would have helped him, but he doesn't really have the slice. Doesn't use it.
And he may be a little bit, because that with that one he was trying to hit with more loft. And we were talking yesterday about players playing their own game, trying to play their own game. And not worrying too much about the changes in surface. And I feel like Medvedev is sort of halfway between figuring out what to do.
Forehand Medvedev, this is another break point for Dimitrov. Forehand Medvedev cross court. Dimitrov with the forehand cross court. Forehand Medvedev down the line. Backhand from Dimitrov. Backhand Medvedev. Dimitrov with a backhand up the line to the forehand of Medvedev. That's long from Medvedev. And Dimitrov has broken. And he's won 8 of the last 10 games.
What is Medvedev doing?
Medvedev signalling to Gilles Savara.
He's like doing a mime act. Gilles Savara wisely wearing sunglasses.
Yes.
For two reasons. One, it's sunny for once.
Secondly, Medvedev doesn't know if he's looking at him.
Doesn't have to make eye contact.
No.
He can also nod off if he feels like it.
There are two Gilles in the Medvedev box because Gilles Simon is working with him now.
Yeah. Ah. Barbara's going for chocolate pudding fruit. Barbara in Milwaukee.
Chocolate pudding fruit?
Yeah.
Do you think that's what it was?
I think they'll add that to that.
Okay.
Karina says, I voted for passion fruit before. Please count it. Could we get a rundown of all the fruit votes? Yep, we can. I'll add you to passion fruit.
Well, I think we're going to refer Eleanor Preston to the Electoral Commission.
Yes, I'm not sure it'll stand up to too much...
close analysis.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a rough guide. Francisca says, love Simon's lunch, which is actually Chris's, but couldn't agree more. Chutney and cheese is the perfect combination. I agree. Piccalillian cheese on a slice of baguette. Any takers? Yeah, I'll take a piccalillian.
Yeah. That's Jamaica, that's all, so. Dimitrov, serving at love 15.
Rob says, today is National Donut Day in the States. Rob, I think you'll find every day is National Donut Day.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're in New York and it's National Bagel Day.
Yeah.
Backhand return from Medvedev to the forehand of Dimitrov. The sun's momentarily gone in. Forehand from Dimitrov to the forehand of Medvedev. Up the line from Dimitrov is a winner. Beautiful shot.
Turning the screw a bit. Starting to take control.
I was in Rybakina's press conference, and she was asked about whether there was a difference in the conditions now that the sun's out. And she said, well, yes. And she said, the ball was flying. I actually had to sort of rein it in a little bit.
Yep.
But she said, the big difference was actually I hit at 10, and then I played my match at 12, and there was a massive difference, because 10, it was still quite heavy, and the ball wasn't travelling through the air. By 12, when the sun was out properly, it was really flying through the air.
Where was she at 11? Because that's when her match started.
I must have been 11 then.
Maybe it changed between 11 and 12.
Well, I think I'm putting the times in there.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, it warmed up.
Difference between her practice and her match. Siminov puts away a volley at the net. An exchange of volleys with Medvedev. And Medvedev is starting to gesture in all sorts of rather, well, sarcastic, self-deprecating ways.
I think he's losing it. He's losing his concentration and his focus, that's for sure. He's not. Is it first serves in for Medvedev? Quite low for him, 57%. You'd think I was thinking that, you know, Dermanor, although he's playing well, the difference probably is Medvedev's 3 points on serve and how the effect of his serve would be. But it's not. He's not winning as many as he would, and only 50% on second serve, only 63% on first serve.
And when you think of the break that Medvedev got to win the first set, it was right at the beginning of the match.
Yeah, exactly, and he had to save break points.
So he's had to actually, he's been slightly on the back foot since capitalising on Dimonor's slow start.
Medvedev has only won one of 9 break points, which is interesting. But to be honest, Dimonor's not much better either, 3 of 9.
Dimonor has held to 15, and Medvedev continues to gesticulate.
And this match is really changing. You look at, I mean, stats don't tell everything, but the rallies of 0 to 4 shots, which is the majority of the points in a match, it's 39-29 in Dimonor's favour. They're level between 5 and 8, and Dimonor's up on the 9 shots too, 21-19. So that's partly because he won the second set 6-2 and he's now 3 love up, but he is turning this match around very quickly. Meanwhile, I've been added to someone random, very strange random WhatsApp group.
Right. Who else is on it?
I have no idea. It's like a massive investment team, but I think they're missing the boat with me.
Okay, well, unless you're the person they're investing in.
With the sun, no. It's okay. With that,
okay.
I don't know yet.
Well, we're just trying to make sense of Medvedev's conversation with Louise Engzel.
You say with the sun it's okay, but without it's not. I don't know what that is.
The tournament, I suspect.
Yeah. It's a first sort of warmish day, really.
Yes, it's very pleasant.
Just to confirm, a couple of people asking about Stefanos Tsitsipas and Paolo Badosa's match disappearing off the schedule. Yeah, that's because Paolo Badosa have scratched from the mixed. I presume
the women's doubles.
I'm not sure. I presume because Stefanos is playing all 3 events and it's a bit too much. He's played doubles with his brother. Have they finished already? No, they're on court.
No, they're just
right
on court now.
They're just starting against Dodig and Krajicek, with number
That'll
4 seeds.
Because Dodig and Krajicek won this title last year or the year before.
Yeah, but they're not a bad pair, the Tsitsipases, are they?
No, they're not.
Petros is doing well.
They won the title in Antwerp last year.
Yeah.
Big family triumph. I talked to Stefanos about it after the event, and he said it's the most satisfying title I've won.
What is happening with the attempts to have a tournament ATP event in Greece? Because I know they'd identified the club that they wanted to hold it at, but it hasn't gotten there yet. Gilles Savara, quite animated.
Yes, he is. I think I picked up half that sentence. I think Medvedev's saying something like, he's just not working.
Yeah.
Backhand from Dimonor, deep to the forehand of Medvedev. Forehand Dimonor, cross court. Forehand Medvedev up the line. Backhand from Dimonor. It's too long.
This is where I feel like he should stick to his game, you know, his natural style a bit more than
Medvedev,
than trying to play with a bit more shape and a little bit more patiently. He should be being a bit more aggressive. And he's incredibly patient anyway from the baseline, but he's trying to hit with shape and maybe that just gives Dimonor a bit more, a bit of extra time.
Well, also, in this kind of weather, you can hit through the court more if you hit flat.
Yeah.
Big forehand up the forehand wing from Medvedev. Medvedev reaches for a backhand now. A slice from Dimonor. Forehand Medvedev digs this up. Forehand from Dimonor is long.
Key stage of the match. No question.
Well, this is where Medvedev has to work out what are his tactics? Because what he's been doing for the last set and a half has not been working. Really, since the second game of the match. He serves out wide and puts the volley into the open court. And Medvedev moves to 40-15.
Margaret in Toronto, where it's dreary and sprinkling rain. I listen to you all day. Great job. Next year, more commentary on Canadians, please. Well, we have done a few. Well, it depends what comes on the...
Auger-Aliassime Yassim yesterday.
We did, yeah, on the main courts. We did a bit of Shapovalov and Horkash the night before.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, I mean, I think we did some Andreescu.
Well, she was playing on so many of the outside courts.
She was
harder
for
us. Backhand from Dimonor, forehand from Medvedev, a slice from Dimonor, deep to the forehand of Medvedev, into out. Backhand into the net from Dimonor, and Medvedev holds. And that's his first game for a while.
Talking of Bianca Andreescu, great to see her back here after 10 months away with a stress fracture in her back. I've just written a story. Just plug my own stories, obviously. Andreescu, it always strikes me that she goes three sets all the time.
Yes.
Just seems to be playing forever.
Yeah.
And I often think, you know, you've had so many injuries, just get the match over would help you a lot if you could finish your matches quicker. Of course, it's not that easy.
It's not that easy. And she doesn't deliberately, she doesn't sort of say, I'm a set and a break up and let's go easy on my opponent.
It's not deliberate, but I thought I'd look into the stats of how often she goes three sets.
Yes.
So since 2017, in her WTA and Grand Slam matches, and this is for players with a minimum of 50 matches, she goes three sets 44.3% of the time.
That's quite high.
It's number three in the list.
Wow.
Number one.
That's the other two.
Peyton Stearns.
Okay.
Right. Number two, Katie Vollinets. Four and five are Victoria Golubic and Taylor Townsend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's interesting. You
Townsend's interesting because with that big serve, you'd think that some matches she just stormed through.
Yeah, and I'm sure she does sometimes. But if you compare that to the current top four. Now,
it's a lob from Medvedev. Dimonor has a delicate backhand feathered volley to take him to 30 love.
Obviously, the top four are winning more. They're playing better. They're probably going to win quicker. But just as an illustration of the difference. Iga Świątek goes three sets 23% of the time. That's less frequently than she does a bagel.
Wow.
Arina Sabalenka, quite high, 37.3%. Coco Gauff, 29.6%. And Elena Rybakina, 34.2%. But they're all way down on those top five. And it's just interesting to see...
48%.
Yeah.
Medvedev at the forehand return. Forehand Dimonor. Medvedev goes cross-court. Forehand Dimonor again is wide.
52% for Peyton Stearns. So
just signs that Medvedev is starting to find the odd error from Alex Dimonor.
Well, the errors come. They're mostly on the forehand of Dimonor because that's the one he goes for it, but it's not as good a shot as his backhand. Mostly in the net, I've noticed today.
Yes. If you're wondering why we're not doing Novak Djokovic, well, his match doesn't start for another half hour.
It'd be pretty difficult, wouldn't it?
It would be quite difficult. We could
could give it a go.
We could create our own. Problem is, though, I would describe a winner, and you'd say, no, that wasn't a winner.
Are you sure?
His opponent got that, hit the winner. Yes.
Christy's in touch from Dallas, where it's not raining now. Howdy, fellas. Besides eating fancy dinners, ahhing through full spa afternoons, Tim Tam dreaming, and fantastic commentating for 2 hours at a time. What else are you lot up to the rest of the day? Well, we're in recovery in between sessions, I think you find. Are you in post-match interviews? I hear you're writing articles. That's true. Yeah, we do some of those.
Yeah. Some of us go into interviews when, I mean, it depends. If we're off air and there's a press conference of somebody who may come later, then yes. That's why I do try to go in, just to pick up whatever there is to pick up.
Also, does Stefan get the same fancy dinners and spa outings? He probably deserves them more than anyone. He does deserve them.
Only
Gigi
them, yes.
gets spa outings.
Yes.
But she also chooses oranges.
Thank you, Christy. Yep. No. Stefan deserves
absolutely
all the plaudits that come his way. Without Stefan, we would not be here.
No, exactly.
40-30, Dimonor serves down the centre, 400 turns into the net. And Dimonor holds for 4-1. There's only the one break of serve.
Dimonor, men, 4-1.
There's Louise Engtel from Sweden, giving the score in French. This is one of the only tournaments where they don't give the score in English.
Yes. Somebody asked about that the other day. Explained about it.
Well, the Olympics, you have to have all announcements in English, French, and the resident language if the resident language is not English or French.
Because French is the language of the Olympics, isn't it?
The modern Olympiad came back in 1896 when Baron Pierre de Coubertin, a Frenchman who has a stadium named after him about 20 minutes walk from here. Have you played there?
I played there, yeah. Well, actually, I played at the club right
at the tennis club in Paris, which is right next to it.
I have a very good old friend called Renaud, who is a member there. We meet up once a year to have a hit. We're doing it tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Very good.
Me and Courtney.
Excellent.
Out there.
No, it's a beautiful club.
Yes, it is. It's lovely.
Are you playing on the clay or on the indoor?
On the clay, I hope.
Because they have indoor wooden courts.
They do,
still.
Yeah.
They are lightning fast.
They have. I think they've made some changes recently.
They put some sort of rubberized surface
down.
Yeah,
but the clay are nice outside. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be on the clay. The weather looks good for tomorrow, so fingers crossed.
No, I used to play there regularly during Roland Garros. I think they thought I was a member of the international club and therefore let me play, but there was a guy there that knew me, and in Paris, if they know you...
Yeah, we're very much guests tomorrow.
Yes.
Here we go.
So Medvedev serving 1-4. Backhand return. Forehand from Medvedev down the backhand wing. Dimonor slices this one. Medvedev waits, goes cross court. A slice from Dimonor. Medvedev goes back to the backhand, but long. Doesn't look like he's got the stomach for the fight, Medvedev.
Not at the moment.
Making mistakes early in the points.
So, a request from Matthew. Can we please have an update on Matt Ebden and Rohan Bopanna in the men's doubles? Matt Colkin in Western Australia. Also, thanks for the great commentary in all Grand Slams. They are on court. They've lost the first set to Balaji and Reyes Ferreira, 7-6, but they're a 1-1 in the second.
They're the number two seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a great story when Matt Ebden won the US Open last year.
What happened? Yes. Go on.
he was the oldest, and it... was it not his first men's doubles major?
And then they won, didn't they win in Australia?
And then they won Australia.
They won. Yep. They're between them, they're something like 80.
Yes.
Because Bopanna's 43. He's the oldest.
Well, I think they're over 80, aren't they?
Yeah, he's 37 or 38.
I think he's 37 and Bopanna's now 44.
Okay.
A drop shot by Medvedev. A slice up the line from Dimonor. Medvedev gets there. Oh, Medvedev puts the ball away. Sorry, Dimonor got there. Medvedev went cross court.
15-40.
This is for a double break for Dimonor. First point is saved. No, sorry, I'm mixing it. It was the Australian that they won.
Yes.
At the US Open, they lost in the final.
That's
after
right.
Bopanna gave the point away with the final set of the doubles final. He admitted that a passing shot by Ebden had brushed his shirt as it went through. Medvedev nets and his double break down.
Something that James Blake did not do at the Olympics in 2008.
This one at 21-21.
He's having three strings.
He's at least still fighting, because otherwise he wouldn't have asked. 2021, that's quite loose.
Kilos?
Yeah.
It's about 50, isn't it?
Yeah.
Compared to who's?
Times 2.2, so 44.
Okay. But it's nothing compared to...
up to Manorino.
Manorino is about 21 pounds.
Yes.
Absolutely insane.
It's about 11 kilos he has, which is...
Absolutely nuts.
24.
I would hit the ball out of the 16th Aaron Dismar if I was using that.
Well, he gets tremendous power on no backswing.
Yeah.
But he can control it.
Except
on a clay court.
Yeah.
Dimonor, 5-1 serves. Backhand return. Backhand Dimonor. Forehand from Medvedev. Forehand Dimonor. Wrong foots Medvedev beautifully. And this is starting to go quite quickly.
Very. Narendran says, am I the first one to vote for custard apple? If so, I'm very surprised. Well, I think you are.
Is custard apple, that's a separate fruit, isn't it? Because Gigi and Eleanor did say no subcategories.
Well, that's not a subcategory.
Okay,
like
fine.
It. I'm writing it down.
Right, okay. Dimonor has double faulted.
I think there was some discussion earlier about avocado, because it is an avocado fruit. It's called avocado fruit.
But is it?
That's what it's called. Or avocado pear.
Avocado pear, yes, but...
but it's not actually a fruit. I wouldn't classify it as a fruit.
Well, it's used... it's a bit like a tomato. Tomato is technically a fruit, but it's used in vegetable applications. Whereas... yeah, well, avocado is the same.
Yeah.
I put an avocado or part of an avocado into most salads that I make.
Toast.
Yeah, avocado on toast.
Smashed avo.
I was about to say, smashed is the new phrase for avocado. Medvedev comes into the net, misplays the volley.
Lackluster.
It was. Dimonor is at 40-15. Two set points for a 2-1 lead.
I think he looks a little confused, Medvedev.
He's just rubbing the centre of his chest. I wonder if there's a problem there. Sort of rubbing about the sternum. Dimonor, set point, served wide. Second serve is into the forehand of Medvedev. Medvedev goes way long on that one. And Dimonor rather strolled through the third set.
You might be right, actually, looking at the speed of the serves in the match. Medvedev, you would expect to have a harder first serve than Dimonor. But his fastest is 206 compared to 216. And their average first serve, he's down at 188.5 compared to 197 for Dimonor. So you would imagine that that's some issue with Medvedev, because he's, well, he's off now.
Yes. It. But it's a bathroom break. It's not calling the trainer. So it'll be a slight delay. Let's bring up to date on some of the doubles. The Tsitsipas brothers are 3-all first set against the defending champions Dodig and Krajicek. And what was the other one we're looking at? Bopana and Ebden. Yes, they are 2-1 up, and they have a break point to go 3-1 against Balaji and Reyes Varela.
Stefan's just informed us that Yannick Sinner plays with 28 kilos, which is quite high.
That's very high. Obviously, yeah. He wants a lot of control.
Yeah, and interestingly, the other night they mentioned to him about his string tension on court. How many rackets do you have in your bag? And he said he has 8, which is a lot. I mean, wish I had 8 rackets.
Well, if you're using them for an average of 9 games.
But he said... they're all the same tension, because he doesn't like to have like some of one tension, some of another.
Okay.
Because he doesn't like to mess with his head about what he's thinking in a match.
But he still changes every night.
But if it was, yeah, he changes them during the match in terms of new rackets, but the same tension. But he said in Madrid, for example, where it's at altitude, he did go a little bit higher to keep the ball in.
I'm assuming the higher you go tension-wise, the more you'll lose in the course of 9 games.
I don't know.
Because the more you tense a string,
maybe,
whether it's a musical instrument string or a racket string,
yeah,
the more you're likely to lose. You'll probably lose the same percentage. Therefore,
yeah,
there's a greater amount of tension.
Yeah, it's possibly.
So somebody who has a tension of 22, after 9 games, they will have lost less, although probably the same percentage, as someone who has tension of 28.
Yeah, maybe. Message from Rob, not to put the cart before the horse. But what do you think of Dimonor's chances against Zverev or Rune? Well, I would say pretty even. I mean, Zverev, obviously, great form from Rome. Much more used to playing on clay than Dimonor. He'd make Zverev favourite.
Yes.
Rune, a little more volatile.
I don't think Rune will beat Zverev.
No, nor do I, but he could.
He could, yes.
He could,
absolutely.
If he played his best. But I think Dimonor is having a great Australian Open. I mean, Roland Garros, he's had a good Australian Open too.
Yes. I tipped Zverev at the start of the tournament. Began to lose a bit of confidence during the Greekspor match, but he came good. Djokovic came good you know.
Yeah.
Despite being 2 sets to one down.
Chad in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's talking about the French words being used by the umpires and stuff. And he's saying that Chris, you may recall him emailing you during the Aussie Open, talking about the origins of the scoring system.
Yes.
Love meaning oof, etc.
Yes.
And he said, what I find ironic is that the umpires there at Roland Garros don't use those French words, love and deuce. They say zero for love, and they say the French equivalent of 40-all for deuce, 40.
Well, they say 40 for the first égalité. Time, and égalité every time after that.
Exactly. So just an observation on the irony of French words not being used by French-speaking umpires at the French Open. Well, they're not all French-speaking umpires, that has to be said.
No.
They just have a sort of stock
they
number
do.
Of words that they know.
And you do have different words. I mean, for a second serve, some umpires will say deuxième service, others will say second service.
True.
So, you know, you have variations with that. But then, look at the use of the word French or French terms.
Yeah. We have loads.
We talk about a French window, but...
French cricket.
French cricket. I mean, do the French know what French cricket is?
No, it's just cricket, isn't it? There are lots of those things. French kiss.
And also various phrases. I mean, the musical instrument, a cor anglais, translates as an English horn.
Yeah.
But, you know, we call it a cor anglais, but we don't...
Christine says, has Radio Roland Garros wished Rafa a happy birthday today?
Oh, that's right.
Stefan would know.
Rafa's birthday
no,
today.
No, we haven't. Well, happy birthday, Rafa.
Happy birthday,
Rafa. June 3rd, 38 years old. Blimey.
Somebody did ask the question, if Rafa had played somebody ranked 80 in the first round, would he still be in the tournament now?
Well, yeah.
Possibly.
Certainly beaten that person.
He was...
Given the way he played.
Yes.
I mean, you could easily form the opinion that if Nadal had got through to the fourth round or something with that extra momentum and with the extra revs
he
up
would
his
be
belt, he would
a
be
potential
playing
champion.
Even better, and it would be fascinating to see if he was still in here. Something we'll never know, but
no,
I wouldn't be surprised.
The draw is random.
Alex says, I think that if the rate of change is the same percentage, that's what players will feel rather than the absolute change in tension. I was going to suggest that to you.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
But that's a good point.
But Panna and Ebden did get that break, and they now lead by 4-1 in the second set.
Keep your favourite fruits coming. If you would like to join our table, which I'm keeping a very accurate record of.
If you're wondering, if you just turned on Radio Roland Garros and you're thinking, what's this about fruit? Why my favourite fruit? Basically, Marcus Buckland walks in every day past a fruit shop, and he's been very good about sort of buying...
Yeah, very nice.
We've had some wonderful blackberries here.
Yep.
Slightly different shape than the blackberries I pick in...
Much bigger.
...late August, early September. And, brought some nice raspberries in. And today, he's come in with a pineapple.
I think he came in with some strawberries, but Courtney dropped them all over the floor.
Oh, okay. Right?
So they don't seem to be anywhere anymore.
Given the gastronomic credentials of this particular commentary box, I would say that they're probably in prime condition if they've been on the floor.
Yeah, maybe Antoine can eat them later.
Yes.
He's still got them.
First point of the fourth set is on. A slice by de Minaur into the net.
Magnus in Sweden says Louise Engzell not only gives the scores in French but also in the most distinct posh Stockholm accent. There you go. Good to know. Thanks for that, Magnus.
Yes, thank you, Magnus. That's obviously a bit of class rivalry in Swedish society there.
Yeah, exactly. Jody wants to know if when you have higher tension, does the ball fly further?
No.
Or is it the other way around?
It's the other way around. Basically, the lower tension, I mean, think of a trampoline. If you've got lower tension in your strings, the ball will go further. If you want power, have a lower tension. If you want more control, have a higher tension.
It's because the ball doesn't get compressed as much on a lower tension. It just springs back all together. It's not lost any of its kinetic energy, and then it zooms back off it.
And that's why players change every 9 games. I mean, I'm still not convinced it makes that much difference, but they think it does, and they play to a much higher level than I'd ever have. Medvedev is now going to change his racket because he's just overhit a couple. But the idea being that as the balls get fluffier and a little bit softer, it's harder to hit them hard. But as they do get fluffier and softer, So your tension goes down, and therefore you've got greater springiness in the strings. So when you get the new balls, you want a little bit more control, so you take a new racket. And it only makes about, I mean, the loss of tension is only about 1.5, 2 pounds.
Yeah, 10% maybe.
Yes, 10%.
There's a defence of the tomato here from Kristen in Norway, where she says it's been 25 degrees for the last 2 weeks or more. I know, in Scandinavia, it's been amazing.
Yes.
She said, I always enjoy listening to you, but today I wonder why you are discriminating against tomatoes.
We're not discriminating
against them. Tomatoes are a fruit, whether someone likes it or not. And if it's eaten directly after harvesting it in a place like Italy or Spain, I think it tastes a lot sweeter and more fruity than the ones we often get further north. Well, that's absolutely true. When it's a fruit competition, I don't understand why your lack of knowledge or disliking facts should hinder the tomato to compete together with other fruits. I really don't like discrimination, and I really love tomatoes and want to vote for them.
Right.
I'm going to give you an honorary vote for a tomato. I don't care what Gigi and Eleanor say.
Well, while we were talking about that, we've missed about the worst drop shot ever. And Medvedev sets pretty high standards for the worst drop shot ever. He's a break point down now. Hits a backhand up the forehand wing. Dimonor is there. Forehand from Medvedev. Backhand Dimonor. It's very short from Medvedev. That's greater depth. Down the line from Dimonor. Medvedev is there across court. Forehand Dimonor to the Medvedev forehand. Backhand Dimonor up the middle of the court. Dimonor comes into the net. Medvedev off the frame has hit a winner.
No, it's gone long.
Oh, it's gone long.
It looked like he was for a moment going to just drop viciously over the head of Dimonor, but it's gone long, and I think Dimonor is, well, he's so much in charge, but I think Medvedev is basically realising that he's not in the shape to win this, mentally or physically.
Well, he doesn't look as if he's competitive at the moment.
No. And as I said, on those stats with his serve, he's definitely, his speeds are down on where he normally is at.
Well, you and I are on the naughty step then, Simon, because of who was it that just given us the lecture on tomatoes?
That was Kristin.
Kristin, right, okay.
Yeah, good defence, I think.
We will eat humble pie with tomatoes in it.
John has given us a few rhymes, including fruit.
Okay.
Well, no, they're not including fruit. That's quite good. We'll come to those later on.
Well, the way this is going, we'll finish this match just as Djokovic is walking out. It's going to work out really well.
Alex says, will Roland Garros be doing something special before the start of Thursday's matches to recognise D-Day? That's a good question.
I don't know, because it's the 80th anniversary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Forehand from Dimonor to the forehand of Medvedev. Medvedev goes down the backhand wing. A slice from Dimonor. Forehand from Medvedev. Into out. Dimonor slices. Medvedev comes into there. He plays a drop shot, but it's into the net. Again, spreads his arms. Looks up at his coach as if to say, it's all going wrong.
Bronson pointing out French fries.
Yes. Yes. Although, wasn't there after 9/11, weren't they called in American circles for a few months freedom fries, because there was I don't know, I think the Americans got a little bit uptight about some
everything.
French government decision, and as a protest they turned,
that's right, yeah,
freedom fries, yeah, okay, it was to do with was it Iraq, right?
Oh, the Iraq war, okay.
Yes. Forehand from Medvedev. That's very deep. Dimonor is there, though. Dimonor is just blocking everything. He's just exchanging fire at the moment. Now Dimonor nets.
Kate has sent a great picture of something called Bingsu dessert at Kyopye Beach in Jeju, Korea. Long slog back to Cincinnati tomorrow. 3 flights, about 25 hours door-to-door. Thanks for the great coverage. Look forward to catching you in the mornings instead of late night. But that looks like a lovely dessert. Looks like a sort of an apple crumble with ice cream on top.
Oh. I it's one of my signature dishes, apple crumble.
There you go.
Apple and blackberry crumble. Dimonor's gone wide with his forehand. And just a glimmer of hope for Medvedev here. 15:30 on the Dimonor serve. Yes, now I put a few special things in my crumble mix.
Vodka.
No, it's not alcohol. I make it crunchy.
It's supposed to be crunchy, isn't it?
Well, depends.
What do you put in the top?
I put, well, I put some oats in it, but yeah. I put millet.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That's it.
And I also, the sugar I put into the crumble topping is muscovado sugar, so you get this, like, treacly.
Nice.
Yes, it is. It is rather good, even though I say it myself.
Well, I expect to see one of those later this week. Let's bring it in.
Backhand from, I don't know if I've got any kitchen facilities to use. Backhand from Dimonor up the line. Forehand from Medvedev. Dimonor will flatten this out. Backhand from Medvedev, deep to the forehand of Dimonor. Backhand from Medvedev. Dimonor happy to slice away. Forehand from Medvedev, two-hander from Dimonor. Cross court to the two-hander of Medvedev. A slice from Dimonor. Medvedev waits, goes back to the two-hander of Dimonor, goes up the forehand wing. Well, he's certainly varying it for Medvedev.
Yeah, that's what he's been doing a lot.
Now it's a slice from Dimonor, forehand Medvedev, forehand Dimonor, forehand Medvedev. Backhand from Dimonor. This is mesmeric, sort of almost like hypnotic. Backhand down the line from Medvedev. Forehand cross court from Dimonor is wide. And for the first time in a long time, Medvedev comes out better from one of these long rallies.
Yeah, with a lot of height and a lot of spin on a lot of those balls too. I mean, I feel like Medvedev's been doing this a lot, but it's not worked. But that was much better. Felt like there was more intent on the shot, not just pushing. That's a long rally. 30 shots, the longest rally of the match.
Yeah. Dimonor at 15:40 serves too long. I'd like to call that 31 because I think we should count the shots that don't go in. They're part of the rally.
I agree.
Forehand return from Medvedev to the forehand of Dimonor, who's gone long. And I just wonder whether it's the fact that he hasn't had to play against much has just caused Dimonor to slightly lose focus, because he gave way in that game.
He did. Simon in East Sussex says, I missed the origin of the fruit conversation, but wonder if anyone has suggested tamarind.
Oh.
No, they haven't.
No, they haven't.
Down it goes. Thank you for that. Says, looking forward to the Eastbourne tournament. It's fantastic being able to get so close to watching the players practice. Merci beaucoup.
I know where Simon is working, actually. I don't know Simon, but it's not that far from where I live. Medvedev serves and comes in with a lovely backhand behind it. Just a little bit of extra sharpness in Medvedev at the moment.
Well, he's got to do something, hasn't he? Look, he's lost the last two sets, 6-2, 6-1. Been very one-sided. To give Dimonor something to think about.
Medvedev serving into the body of Dimonor. Forehand from Medvedev. Goes back to the backhand. Dimonor happy to slice. Forehand from Medvedev. A slice from Dimonor. Medvedev waits for this. Goes back to the backhand. Another slice from Dimonor with a lot of air, but goes long.
Bringing a few mistakes.
Yes, he's broken Dimonor's
rhythm.
Yeah, I was going to say consistency, but yeah, probably amounts to the same thing. 30 love. Medvedev serves just too long. Second serve is off the top of the net and long, off wide actually.
Well, there's a lot at stake for Dimonor. He's trying to get to a quarter final for the first time, so he's he wants to achieve a career first. There's a bit of pressure as well as he gets closer to the line.
Medvedev serves, forehand return to the backhand of Medvedev. A slice from Dimonor, a lot of air on that one. Medvedev goes into out but misses. Suddenly the air is back for Medvedev. 30 love becomes 30 all. Panda and Epton, 5-2. Second set. Looks like they're about to take that match into a decider. And the Tsitsipas brothers have lost the first set to Dodig and Krajicek by 6-4. Backhand from Medvedev down the line. Dimonor digs this up with a defensive forehand. Backhand Medvedev cross court. Backhand Dimonor up the middle of the court. Backhand Dimonor goes into out but wide.
20-30. Well, we know Medvedev is obdurate enough to be able to grind things out for a long, long time. They've been playing 2.5 hours. Not that long.
Not by Medvedev standards. But not even by Dimonor standards.
No. So, physically, tiredness-wise, I don't think
that's going to play a factor. Medvedev thinks he served an ace. The umpire... Actually, it's very good. Medvedev was about to argue with the umpire that she got the wrong mark. And Dimonor said, no, that was good. So yeah, it is an ace.
Good sportsmanship from Dimonor.
Very good sportsmanship.
Medvedev said thanks.
Radio Roland-Garros.
Game, set and match. Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
So 2-1, Medvedev. It's the first time he's been ahead in a set.
For a while.
Since the end of the first set, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Dimonor got the break early in the second.
Yeah, he's given something for Dimonor to think about, that's for sure. Definitely changing his game a little. Like I said, lacking on the power on serve, the normal sort of bullets that he rains down, but...
There's a women's doubles match that we haven't given you any updates on. Kishnok and Ostapenko, the sixth seeds, were set up on Anshpa and Detuk. Anshpa and Detuk have come back to take the second on a tiebreak and are 2-love up in the third.
David says, talking about the blisters that Medvedev had treatment for in the first set, or second set. When I was playing soccer as a junior, our club team had numerous players with blisters on their feet. Our Yugoslavian coach insisted that we all start wearing two pairs of socks to reduce blistering. From then on, I've always worn two pairs of socks for soccer and tennis and not had any issues with blisters. I feel like I don't see too many pro tennis players wearing two pairs of socks, though, so I'm wondering if anyone else has heard of that method.
Yeah,
or was our coach just trying to make our feet unnecessarily hot? I think it's quite common.
They do in Australia.
Yeah.
When it's very hot,
yeah.
Seems odd, actually. But when it's really hot, they tend to wear two pairs of socks just to protect, it was certainly more the case with the rebound ace at the Australian Open, but it's still the case with the current surface, the plexi cushion.
We get seeing some scenes from behind the scenes here at Roland Garros and Novak Djokovic getting ready for his match this afternoon, which starts in about 5 minutes' time. Him greeting Casper Ruud as he was working out on the bike, just warming up. Lots of stretching going on against Francisco Cerúndolo too.
Well, if Djokovic and Ruud both win today, then they play each other in the quarterfinals. A lob from Medvedev. Dimonor will let that bounce. It's just inside his baseline. He plays a forehand, doesn't smash off the bounce. Backhand from Dimonor down the line. Forehand from Medvedev. Lot of air. Dimonor comes into the net, hits a lovely forehand. Flattened it out for a clean winner.
Richard, who's been the source of quite a few good comic emails to Radio Roland Garros over the course of the first week and a bit.
Thank you, Richard.
Has come up with a fruit platter. Melon or Preston.
Oh, dear.
Peachy salmon. Apple Courtney Walsh.
Right.
Slime on cambers. Served with Crisps Bowers and Marcus Buckwheat. I like it.
Yeah.
Good effort. Thanks for that, Richard. 30-15. Crisps Bowers. That's a good one.
One of my daughter's friends when they're about 3 years old used to call me Crisp. She thought that was my name.
You sure she wasn't just asking for crisps?
Well, she probably was, but that age when they associate everything with something. Her friend's dad was called Crisp. Backhand down the line from Dimonor is a clean win up. Medvedev came into the net, but it was a wing and a prayer.
There's another one when he comes into the net. It's almost like he doesn't split step. So, well, he does, but he doesn't move naturally towards the volley. He was miles away from
it. Well, the idea of the split step is makes you more agile.
Yeah,
it seemed to actually fix his feet to the ground.
He just sort of jumped.
Yes. Forehand from Dimonor to the forehand of Medvedev. Medvedev into the net. Horrible forehand. And Dimonor levels at 2-all.
But that was almost a result of that previous game where he was hitting it with a lot of loft and a lot of height and spin and stuff, taking it easy, keeping the ball in. Then he sort of tries to force it, change it back to his normal shot, and he misses badly. So it feels like he's sort of deviating between game plans.
I wonder if he's got the patience today.
Yeah.
Normally he has. Normally he'll...
He's not lost his temper.
No, he hasn't.
Which can happen.
Medvedev serves down the centre. Backhand return is just clears the net. Backhand from Medvedev. A high ball from Dimonor. It goes long.
Ooh. Almost got lucky. Or clever. Good anticipation from Dimonor. Just couldn't control it.
We're seeing on our monitor, Francisco Cerúndolo is in the corridor, ready to walk up the steps and enter the Philippe Chatrier court.
John says, enjoying the coverage of the pudding talk, desserts, sweets, fruit.
Fruit.
Ever heard of the Knickerbocker glory? Of course
oh,
we have.
Yes.
Anyone who grew up in England in the 70s and 80s or earlier would know what a Knickerbocker glory is, and he's put a fantastic picture of it, complete with a crispy wafer on top.
Oh, that's a very good one.
Very nice.
That's a very good one. Yes. Yes, sort of. That's a volley from Medvedev. Comes into the net, plays a volley for 40. Love.
Lizzie said, I'll never forget Sharapova getting her dad's socks so she could have a second pair. I believe that was at the Australian Open, she says.
I don't remember that one. Do you?
No. Oh, I missed the last one off Richard's list. Was and a 9-day-old loafy amiac.
Oh,
Richard,
oh
you need one for Stefan?
Yes. It's a forehand return from Dimonor, and Medvedev goes long.
Has Antoine been seen since he ate that sandwich? Has anyone seen
no,
him?
No, he hasn't. He walked out healthily yesterday.
I saw his book today in the Roland Garros shop that he wrote with Yannick Noah.
Oh, right, okay.
That's very pride of place in the shop. Looks nice.
Forehand return to the forehand of Medvedev, backhand from Dimonor. Forehand Medvedev, good depth from Dimonor, pushing Medvedev right to the back of the court. Now forehand from Medvedev up the line, Dimonor with a defensive backhand. Medvedev comes in, lets it bounce just inside the service line and puts the ball away easily. Medvedev. And Medvedev holds for 3-2, but he has to win this fourth set. Medvedev,
still in there mentally though, it seems now. Got himself together a bit.
And we're going to now switch over to the Philippe Chatrier Arena, where Francisco Cerúndolo has just walked on court to play the man who is walking up the stairs at this moment. He was wearing his glasses when he walked into Roland Garros earlier today, Novak Djokovic. The contact lenses are in. There you go. Don't think any of that needs translating. The title holder is walking in hand, and I say a little word with the girl from the Among the Dreams initiative, which I think has been a great success. There'll be a number of photos on mantelpieces, walls, wherever one puts photos these days. Does one have mantelpieces in living rooms these days?
Only if you've got a fireplace.
That's right, it was for the above a fireplace, isn't it? I'm sure in a lot of French country...
Yeah. I'm sure there are plenty around.
Yeah.
Message from Barbara. She says, Alejandro Cerúndolo is about to face Novak. I think she's saying, Barbara, correct me if I'm wrong, that his dad was my coach, and he made us use 2 pairs of socks to avoid the foot from sliding. Great commentary.
Alejandro's the dad, right?
Alejandro Cerúndolo, who is...
the dad of Francisco and...
Franz...
Yeah.
So Alejandro Cerúndolo was my coach, and he made us use 2 pairs of socks to avoid the foot from sliding.
I think Alejandro is the dad of Francisco and Juan Manuel, who's the other Cerúndolo, who's just slipped out of the top 100.
That's right.
He was in the top 100 last year.
That's great, Barbara. You must be a good player. You still playing? Let us know. Oh, where's Stefan? Oh, Stefan. Richard's one for you is Stefan Wafers. That's a bit of a stretch.
It is a stretch, isn't
it? I'll take it. Or he says, and a 9-day-old loafy amiac for making Stefan sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
We're stretching the dad jokes now.
Yes.
But that's still good.
Well, that's not fruit anymore, is it?
No, we might have exhausted the fruit, but
yes,
we shall see.
So, about how many hours is it since Djokovic finished his last match?
Well, it was 3:07 or 3:08, whichever one you choose. Yesterday morning?
Yes, it's now 4:05.
About 36, 37.
37 hours, yes.
But I think there were some people who were very surprised that he wasn't on at night today. And I would say that he wouldn't have wanted to be on at night because that's playing too late, or the risk of playing too late. And also, it's enough time, in theory, for him to recover and play
today. Yeah, the difference between starting at 4 and starting at 8.30 is...
not too much.
Not much,
and this way, he'll actually get out for dinner and have a normal night.
And he can reasonably expect to be in the final on Sunday, and the final is played at 3 o'clock.
Exactly.
So...
the last night session is Wednesday here.
Yes.
So, yeah, unlike Australia, where most of the second week for the big guns is played at night for the likes of Djokovic.
But they're warm evenings, as you were saying yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you know that your colleague, Tumaini Karayol, was going to write a piece in The Guardian about players who don't like...
I did.
Because I read his piece this morning.
Yes, exactly. And it's very true.
Players that don't like playing the night session matches here.
Well, because we were talking about this yesterday, weren't we, with Serena Williams and stuff.
Yes.
A lot of people were talking about that in press yesterday. Just because I think it was Carlos Alcaraz said it's about a 3-hour gap between when you finish and when you end. And he was saying, you know, people think, well, at the Coco Gauff set, people think when you finish at 3, that's it, you're done. But you're not.
No. I mean, for a start, you've got press, which people do see, especially if there's
interviews.
But you've got anti-doping, you've got ice baths and massage. Just the simple thing of shower and getting into your civilian clothing.
Exactly. But the anti-doping is not automatic, but you can be called at randomly.
Yes.
Grand slams for anti-doping straight after a match. But yeah, there's a lot that goes on. And the same goes for all the people around. You know, no one just finishes at 3 and then goes to bed.
No.
Barbara says, yes, it was Alejandro, the dad. We called him Toto. I played NCAA Division 1 tennis. Now,
that is high level.
Well, now you were good, Barbara. Now you're giving away how good you were. Oh, congratulations.
That is very high level.
Excellent. Good for you. Well done. Rob says, I heard talk about socks, so perfect segue. Once I saw Rublev lose his shoe and then simply step into it in like 5 seconds. When I put on my shoes today, it takes about 5 minutes with much tightening and adjustments. Who's the odd one out?
Yes. Well, I think Rublev may have got a little higher in the rankings, put it that way.
Yeah.
Alex Timonor has leveled the second set in 3 games all. So, he still remains 2 sets to 1 up and 3-all in the fourth. And we have bright sunshine on the Philippe Chatrier court. It's not uninterrupted, it's quite a few clouds around, so the sun comes and goes, but hey, that's the nature of a summer's day. And Djokovic is wearing his day outfit. It's basically the same as the night outfit, but the shorts and socks are different. At night he was wearing the sort of purple shorts with that red shirt. The red shirt's quite nice, actually, but I think it looks much better with the white shorts.
The red jacket is really nice.
Yes, the red jacket's good, yep.
You can get that in the shop.
But the...
Here, if you've got a few hundred euros.
The Roland Garros shop.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's sponsored by Lacoste, exactly, which is the official apparel partner of the tournament.
The Lacoste ones are lovely, but they do need a deep wallet.
Yes.
But they're very well made, they look nice.
And Lacoste, one of the manufacturers that don't like other logos on. I think they will tolerate one other logo from their top players, but only one. And sometimes not even that. It's one of those brands where they're very, very protective of the brand, even if it means that the people they sponsor, they have to pay a bit more money to, because they have to make up for the lost income.
Do the family still own Lacoste?
Well, yes, it's Lacoste and Technifiber now. Someone like Medvedev is...
Yeah, Technifiber.
Technifiber racket, Lacoste clothing. Mm. Medvedev has just hit a backhand into the net and is 30-40, so this could be critical for Medvedev. We'll keep you updated on that. But we've got Djokovic and Cyrundalo starting their match. The winner will play either Zverev or Rune, who play the night match. Djokovic starting the match. He tends to bounce the ball a lot when there's a really big point.